This morning, we are continuing our series through the book of James, and we find ourselves in the first chapter, verses 19 through 27. If you've brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope you have, please turn to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. I open up with a story about pianist Artur Rubinstein. He was loquacious in 8 languages, and he once told this story on himself. And the story goes as follows. Some years ago, he was assailed by a stubborn case of hoarseness. The newspapers were full of reports about smoking and cancer, so he decided to consult a throat specialist. He states, "I searched his face for a clue during the 30-minute examination," Rubinstein said. "But it was expressionless. He told me to come back the next day. I went home full of fears, and I didn't sleep at all that night." The next day, there was another long examination, and again, a very ominous silence. "Tell me," the pianist exclaimed. "I can stand the truth. I've lived a full, rich life. What is wrong with me?" The physician looked at him and said, "You talk too much." Sounds kind of funny, and it is kind of funny, but when I read this earlier this week, having read that, I began to think about how and what the Lord would say to you and to me about how we interact with Him and His Word. What would God's diagnosis be for you and for me? Would the Lord simply say to us that you and I talk too much, or would He be pleased at how much we listen to Him? This morning, as I mentioned, we'll continue our series in the book of James, chapter 1. Our text is found in this first chapter, and we'll specifically be focusing upon verses 19 through 27. Let's turn to our text. Follow along if you have your Bibles with you. Verse 19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, they are like a person observing their natural face in a mirror. For they observe themselves and go away and immediately forget what kind of person they are. But the person who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this person will be blessed in what they do. If anyone among you thinks that they are religious and does not bridle their tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." It's important that we view this portion of Scripture in light of our relationship with the Lord. And I'll say that again. Too oftentimes, many of us in our lives, we view especially verse 19, where it says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." We view that in light of our earthly relationships. But I'm going to say it again. It's important, it's essential, it's vital that we view this text in the context of our relationship with God. Too often, as I mentioned, we view this passage in connection only with our earthly relationships. And verse 19 tells us that we need to be swift to hear. We need to run to listening. We need to go quickly to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. When we read this verse and we begin to apply it to our earthly relationships, we miss the message that James has for you and for me. The core or the central theme James has in this passage is found in verse 21b or the second half of verse 21 and verse 22. Everything else in the text supports this theme. It supports the message. And in some fashion, James wants us to apply this theme to our lives. Listen to these two verses once again. "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." There are three things that we can learn and glean from these two verses. And this morning I want to cover only the first. And I believe it's the foundational, it's the basis, it's the basic foundational principle in all that we do in our Christian journey. And the first is that we must receive the implanted word, or receive the word. James says, receive with meekness, with gentleness, with humility, with teachability, to receive God's word. And it's not an option, friends. This in the original text is a command. It's an imperative if you're an English major. It's an imperative or a command. And he isn't saying, hey, this is your option to do this or not to do this. He is saying, receive God's word, being humble and meek and gentle and placing yourself low and giving it free rein. He tells us that this word is not just any word of God, but it's the implanted word of God. The imagery used here that James uses is of our heart being soil and the word of God being seed. Jesus, if you remember with me in Matthew 13, he spoke of four different conditions a heart of a person could be found in relation to God's word could be in. The four types of hearts are the hard heart, the shallow heart, the crowded heart, or the fruitful heart. And what James is telling us in this text is he's really saying we and you and I must check our hearts and make sure that they are true and correct. And this is the very reason why he speaks of removing all moral filth prior to the admonition of receiving the implanted word. Friends, God's word can only work in your heart and life and my heart and life if we receive it in the right way. I'll say that again. God's word can only work in your heart, work in your life, and work in my heart and work in my life if we receive it in the right way. And so that indicates there is a wrong way to receive God's word. It indicates that we can oppose what God wants to do in our lives and in our hearts. And James gives us the prescription of how we are to receive God's word. I can't emphasize this enough. The central crucial point of whether or not a believer comes to Christ and excels in their journey with Christ is right here. Whether or not they are willingly, with all meekness and gentleness and teachability, ready or not, they are desiring to receive God's word that has been implanted in their life. I meet a lot of people, and I'm sad to say that a lot of people, they stop right here. Because they want God on their terms. They want God in the way that they want God, and they are unwilling to be teachable. They're unwilling to submit to God's word. And I'm here to tell you that God's word is a double-edged sword. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, able to divide soul from, you know, spirit and joint from marrow. And there are times where you and I, we will go to God's word, and it will cut us to the core. It will convict us like we've never been convicted before. And yet, if we are meek and teachable and humble and gentle, God will allow his word to grow in our life. And this is the crux of why many people excel in their journey with Christ and other people just veer off and you don't see them anymore. Because they've decided they want God on their terms. They've decided they are going to refuse to receive God's word that has been implanted in their heart in their own way. And they've decided that they are going to stop God from working in their life. And yet, James says, and later on in this text, he says, and when we do that, we deceive ourselves because we believe coming to church, it makes us all good. We believe that serving in certain areas, in certain ways, it edifies us, and it makes us right with God. And friends, it doesn't. It doesn't do anything of the sort. The only thing that makes us right with God is Christ and Christ crucified. The only thing that makes us acceptable to Jesus and to God our Father is what Jesus has done on Calvary. That's the only thing. And Jesus himself said, if you want to follow me, you must first deny yourself. And part of this right here in listening and receiving God's word is denying our own agenda sometimes, denying our own beliefs sometimes, denying our own wants and desires sometimes, and allowing God's word to reign in your heart and soul. So Jesus, he illustrated this in this parable of the sower. He called it the good soil or the good ground, and this is where God wants for you and for me. And Jesus and James, they both have the same message. There is a right way to receive God's word. And I'm going to give you the prescription of how we should receive God's word. First, we must be swift to hear. Jesus, in his Gospels that attest to all of his teaching, he spoke time and time again of hearing all the time after his teaching. And you can test me on this. You can go to the Gospels and look up every parable. And most of the parables that he taught, at the very end, he will say this statement, "The one who has ears, let them hear." And Jesus is saying, "Hey, receive my word and be quick to hear and do not be quick to speak." And so Jesus is attesting to this. And too often, sadly, and I confess this myself, we do the exact opposite. You know, when James says we must be quick to hear, too often you and I, we run to God and we expunge a laundry list of prayer concerns and requests, and then we run on about our daily life, and we often fail at sitting and listening to the Lord. I'll remind you of another account when Jesus visited Mary and Martha. And the example here of how one, Martha, was running around about the daily tasks and doing this, doing that, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And at one point, Martha even says, "Hey, Lord, Lord, can't you tell my sister to get up and help me with these daily tasks?" And I'm going to read to you what Jesus said to Martha. He said, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be ever taken away from her." You know, in our life, there are many things that can be taken from us, many things that we value and hold close and dear, and yet they can be stripped away. They can be taken from you and from me, but there is one thing that will never, ever, ever, that no one can ever take from you and from me, and that is when we sit at the feet of Christ and we listen and we pause and we hear the Spirit of God, that still small voice, gently speak into our soul, into our heart, into our minds, into our very being, and we hear what God's will is for our life. Years ago, I was counseling an individual, and basically I shared with this individual how many times, and I still do it to this day, I will pause in the morning and I will say, "Lord, I'm here. Speak to me. I don't have a laundry list of requests or desires or anything. I am here for you to talk to me." And this individual, they began to laugh, and they looked at me and they said, "How is that working out for you?" I looked at them and I said, "Very well, quite, thank you." And in all reality, they didn't know, but they were indicting themselves, for they were coming to me for counseling, and they were the ones asking me how me listening to God was working for me. And I'm not above counsel. There are times in my life where I need good, godly, biblical counsel. But the fact of the matter is that we tend to go to God and tell God rather than go to God and listen to God. And when we go to God and tell God, we fail to allow and to receive God's word that has been implanted in you and me. Robert Hernon, he speaks of it this way, and he says, "Good listening is like tuning in a radio station. For good results, you can listen to only one station at a time. Trying to listen to my wife," and this is Robert Heron speaking, "while looking over an office report is like trying to receive two radio stations at the same time. I end up with distortion and frustration. Listening requires a choice of where I place my attention. To tune into my partner, I must first choose to put away all that will divide my attention. That might mean laying down the newspaper, moving away from the dishes in the sink, or putting down the book I'm reading, or setting aside my projects." You know, the same is true with our Lord. The same is true with Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, where we give our attention, and there's going to be times in our life where the daily tasks and the responsibilities of life are going to clamor at you and me. And I guarantee you, if you sit in that chair long enough, or where you seek God's face, if you sit there long enough, they will fade away and the Spirit of God will begin to speak to your heart and your soul. And you will receive a word. You will receive an encouragement. You will receive a strength that you never realized that was ever, ever there. Because it does not exist in this world. It exists and comes from the living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have to decide. We have to choose and say, "I'm going to sit here, Lord, and as long as I've got to sit here, I don't care. As long as I've got to fight the distractions of life and the noise of life, I'm going to tune it out because you have my attention, Jesus. And I give you free rein in my heart and soul." You see, hearing is so essential that our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're questioning whether or not this is vital or not, Romans 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is pivotal. This is foundational. If we fail to listen, if we fail to hear, if we are quick to speak and slow to listen, we, you and me, will never move forward in our journey with Christ, because the Word of God tells us that our faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Let me highlight one word from verse 20. And as I mentioned briefly a moment ago, it's the word meekness. And it can be defined as gentleness or humility. And when you and I decide to listen to and receive the Word of God with humility, we are humbling ourselves before the Lord. We are placing ourselves at the mercy of our Lord Jesus and His Word. As I mentioned, this is the basis for properly receiving the Word of God in our life. To be quick to hear, to be quick to listen, to tune out all the noise of life and push pause on life's button. Say, stop. My attention is given to Christ right now. And I guarantee you it doesn't have to be 20 or 30 minutes. Start with 30 seconds. Start with 2 minutes. Start with 15 seconds and say, Lord, I'm here. This is all that I can do, but I give you this, and He will honor that. And little by little, you will be grown in your relationship. Secondly, we must be slow to speak. It dawns on me as I was putting this together that the first impulse of many of us is to speak first and listen second. And James admonishes us to listen first and then speak. When Lyndon B. Johnson was a senator from Texas, he displayed a sign on his office wall which read, "You ain't learning nothing when you're talking." And this is true of all of our interaction with the Lord, either in prayer or reading or studying God's Word. We aren't learning anything when we are so busy talking, and we need to be slow to speak and let the living Lord speak to us. Today in the Word speaks it this way, and they say, that can it be that the average person spends 1/5 of his or her life talking? I'll say that again. That's rough. 1/5 of a person's life is spent talking. That means if an individual lives 100 years, 20 years of that person's life is spent doing nothing but talking. Now listen to this. And they go on and say, that's what the statistics say. If all of our words were put into print, the result would be this. A single day's words would fill a 50-page book. Every day, you and I fill a 50-page book. But a year's words of words, the average person's words would fill 132 books of 200 pages each. That's rough. And we think that we listen enough. Every year, you and me, we fill 132 books full of 200 pages each. Now, the scary thing for me is the Scripture says that we will give an account of every word that has been spoken. Now, that's scary to me, because a lot of what I do is talking. And so if the average is 132, my average is probably slightly higher. And I'm going to give an account for more than what the average individual is. And so, my friends, we need to cultivate this sense of listening and listening to God. And I want to challenge all of us as we prepare for next Sunday. We're going to meet around the communion table, around the Lord's table. And this week, I want to challenge all of you to take one part of one day. I'm not saying the whole day. I'm saying take one part of one day, whether it's breakfast or lunch or dinner, or whether it's your break at work, and you can say, I'm taking 5 minutes, Lord, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to set this aside for God's use, and I'm going to listen to Him, and it's His time to use as He wishes. That's going to do two things. It's going to prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for our preparation for meeting around the Lord's table next Sunday, but it's also going to cultivate a sense of listening to the Lord God this next week. The third thing that we need to do to listen is we must be slow to wrath. I want to put all this in perspective for us. We've moved from listening. Listening carries the posture of caring about the one being listened to. Many times when we go to God and we just expunge this laundry list of cares and desires, we don't care about God. We care about our needs, our agenda, our wants, our desires. We need to be in a love relationship with Christ. We need to be in a love relationship with our risen Savior. We need to go to Him and say, Jesus, I am yours. I am here. Speak to me. But friends, just as those of you who are in a relationship, that love doesn't start up overnight. It's cultivated. It's fostered. It is made a culture of in your life. And it becomes a lifestyle. And so we begin to listen. And then we've moved to speaking, and speaking carries the posture of communicating a need, a want, a desire, such to the one being spoken to. It can be filled with a personal agenda or a desired outcome. And lastly, we find ourselves being encouraged to be slow to wrath. See, the problem with many of us is not that we talk about our relationships here on earth, but being slow to being angry with God. And this is the crux. When we go to God, and we ask Him for things, and He knows it's not good for us to give us these things, the temptation for you and I is to become angry with God because He hasn't done what you and I want Him to do. And when we become quick to be wrathful, then our relationship with Christ has been severed. But when we listen, and it hasn't been severed permanently, it's been severed until we come back and confess and repent and ask for forgiveness. But when we listen first, we understand the heart of God is a good God. He's a compassionate God. And we know that He has what's best in our interest at heart for us. And so we need to be slow to wrath. There will be things in God's Word which will and can shake us to our core, as I mentioned. Sometimes it's because of how we're living or because of the condition of our heart. And we must not, if we are yearning to receive God's word in the proper manner, to be quick to become angry with God. It can happen. It's happened to me, and it can happen to you. It can happen again, and it may happen again. But we need to be aware of where our posture is and whether or not we are quick to listen. The check and balance for us to not become angry with God, it will always be listen first. When you and I listen, we hear the heart of the living Lord. When you and I listen, we understand God's love for us. When you and I listen, we lay down our wants and desires and agendas. When you and I listen, our hearts are changed. So how are we doing? How am I doing? Are we listening or are we talking? Let's start this week in preparation for communion this coming Sunday and taking a day or a portion of a day to listen to God and His Word. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank You, Father, for this challenge. We thank You for Your mercy and Your grace, and we thank You for this truth that we need to listen first and speak second and to not allow our wants and desires to become anger in us. Father, give us Your courage to listen to You. Give us the courage to sit still long enough to hear from You. Father, give us the boldness to push aside the noise of life, to let things go for a brief period of time so that we can sit at Your feet. And Jesus, we thank You that You will honor these efforts and these desires of our hearts. We thank You, O God, and we praise You, and we thank You for this challenge. We pray all this in the holy and the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.